I was here last Tuesday and talked to all of you then. And at that time, you were a little nervous, but you weren't totally concerned about what was going on. And then a few hours later, Kirk, tell me what happened a few hours later last Tuesday.
It was pretty relaxed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we had 45 minutes. And so we really started scrambling to get our things together and figure out what we needed to take, what was most important. And it got a little nerve-wracking at that point. It was like, wow, this could be real.
And you were surprised, weren't you? Even though you'd had some warning, it still came as a shock, right?
Yes, it actually did, yeah. Yeah, because you're kind of going around I was a little bit lackadaisical in the sense that this isn't going to happen, you know, and then all of a sudden, when the reality comes that maybe it is, it's a whole different feeling.
And Rob, you too got the notice?
Yes. When my wife and I left that evening, you know, heading out of Lola, went to Missoula because we stayed in East Missoula that night, it was, I was really concerned when I seen the ridge up on the Blue Mountain area totally on fire. You know, everybody could see it from town. And the impression I got was that the fire was, it burned down into our area, if you could see it that high. But it was just the ridge behind us. But the illusion was that it was like right there. And my wife and I just looked at each other and figured that more than likely we lost our homes. I think that was the consensus a lot of people had. And but fortunately, when we talked to the firemen the next day, you know, they informed us how it was the upper ridge, and that was the appearance that everybody got in town because it was right up top. And, you know, I've lived here for 20 years, and I've seen the fires up on the hillsides before, but this one particularly stood out in my mind. And to me, it looked like it was too close for comfort, but we were relieved, you know, the next day to find out that the homes were intact. They also said that, you know, if the winds change or if we get some kind of bad weather, you know, not to let your guard down because spot fires can occur.
So not breathing a total sigh of relief yet and may not for a few days yet?
Well, yeah, not until we have a significant weather event, with heavy rain or too early to snow. But until things really change, because even with the containment lines, you know, if you get these high winds that come in, things can change. But right now, just glad to be home. And there is a sigh of relief knowing that, you know, seeing the guard up here and all the firemen that were been, you know, in and out. And I just can't thank them enough. And the firemen particularly were extremely professional, courteous, and what a great bunch of guys. All, you know, law enforcement, National Guard. And like I said, we can't thank them enough. They were very professional. We appreciate all they've done for us.
You know sort of abstractly what firefighters do, and then you see it firsthand, and it's different, isn't it, when you really realize what they've done, Christy?
I think one of the things that's been the most amazing to watch is the teamwork. I mean, they could not have done this without incredible cooperation from so many different agencies, and the communication that they gave us, the specifics of it, was incredibly helpful, because I think it maintained a sense of composure. It kept people from relaying inaccurate information, and it reassured people that they were doing as much as possible, and we believed them. You know, we saw that happening on the ground and in the air. As Rob says, the professionalism was exemplary.
Karna, when you were leaving for the evacuation, do you look back at your house and wonder, am I going to see it again?
Yeah, just one of the last things I remember is thinking, oh, I need to water the flowers. And then realizing, oh my God, the flowers could be vaporized and the pots melted, you know. But I think what really brought it home to us was when we got the sheriff was at the door, and this is exactly what he said, is, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, folks. If nothing changes, the fire's going to come through the gulch tonight. And so that was the moment when I really realized we could lose our home tonight. So that was very frightening. And then we drove up Highway 12 on Sunday to just see if it looked like it was still burning. And what was amazing was, you could see how the fire had burnt down to right literally backyards, you know, maybe 6 feet behind the house. And in some cases, it had burnt even into the side yard and the front yard. And yet all but, what, four or five homes were saved up there. And I think that just really, I mean, when I think of the firefighters doing that job, to me, they are amazing heroes.
You live at the very end of the road. Tell me about what happened to you on last Tuesday night.
When the warning came on Monday, I packed up my camper with my, you know, my meager valuables, my bottle cap collection and whatnot, and moved into town with my son. And then I came back out Tuesday morning, and we set up some sprinklers around the house and cleared away as much combustible stuff as we could. So we were testing out the programming on the sprinkler, and I had invited Rob and Karen up to have a beer because they hadn't seen my house yet. And so I was showing them around the house, and the phone rang, and it was Crystal down at the information thing. She had just come out of that meeting where they said it's time to go. And she says, Ken? I said, yeah. She says, it's time to go to town. And I looked out the window, and there's the sheriff and the fire department out in the front yard. And yeah, you got that right. So that's when we got moving. Pulse rates went up, and we got out of there.
What kind of a night did you have that night?
Oh, you know, I've only been in the house 2 months. So I was really kind of cussing out the previous owner because I know he knew this was coming.
After you cussed him out, it had to be a pretty nerve-wracking night.
Yeah, but, you know, as I've told anybody that would listen, you know, I've been around for a while. I've been over 60 and plus, and I've had bad things happen to me in my life, and it seems like every time something bad has happened, something better has come along to counteract that afterwards, and it's, you don't let events shape your reaction, you react to them, you know. It's, you can make it a tragedy or you can make it a blessing. It's all in how you, I don't know, digest it. So mm-hmm. So that's what I was doing. I was preparing myself for coming back and finding a basement and a pile of ashes. And so I was ready for that.
Mark and Sally, what do you think the blessing has been that Ken is talking about? And one of the blessings, it seems to me, is you all are sitting here and you seem very close right now.
I think we are very close, and the fire helped bring us even closer together. I think we all have to make this decision. What do we take out? I remember in 2000 when we evacuated, I think I took Grandma's recipe book and just about everything else I could get my hands on. This time we left with about, I don't know, three or four pieces of art. And we said to ourselves that the real memories are in our hearts and our heads. They're not physical anymore. And that's, I think, the lesson that we learned. And the other thing that I'd share with people, if a fire is anywhere near you, it can move much, much faster than you can believe.
And Sally, the landscape has changed a little bit on your road. A bulldozer came through and some hand crews came through and did a lot of clearing and so on along the road. Looks a little different.
It does look different. And that was one of the things I was thinking. One of the things we thought of, well, even if our house is spared, the whole hillside could be charred. How would we feel about that? Looking out at black instead of this gorgeous green we have. And then when I realized the fire hadn't come, but knew that they were clearing, I thought, well, but that could be a real problem. In fact, it looks wonderful. Those firefighters, and when we would talk to them, they would say, oh, you have such a beautiful place here. They were just such nice young men. And they did a beautiful job. Our hill now is thinned very well for future years. And I suppose that, in a very practical sense, is a blessing. And then they told us they were going to come back in and clean up, chip all of the brush they left behind, which I find just amazing, and reclaim the bulldozer tracks. So, like everybody, I just can't thank them enough. They were so professional, so considerate, and it's that has really been wonderful. We did the most damage to our house because we finally did what we should have done 10 years ago and sawed down big juniper, huge juniper hedge in the front of our house. So we'll deal with that. That's fine.
And Kirk, there is a message here, isn't there, for everyone in Montana who lives in a fire zone and has their dream house in the woods? And that message is what, do you think?
Well, I think that message is to make sure that your house is cleared and that your property is cleared and that you have combustibles away from your house and that you're prepared to leave quickly with, you know, having your the particular valuables bundled, if you will, or a list of what to grab and have a plan, really, to have a plan.
I'll ask all of you, and anyone can chime in on this, what do you think is going to be your strongest memory of this week? Because this is going to be a week you'll remember forever.
I think the way people all chimed in to help each other and relay information back and forth. I mean, we had acquaintances that we ran into in Lola when we had to evacuate that night that invited us to stay at their house if we had no place to stay. You know, really nice gestures like that. I mean, it goes to show you the community is pretty tight and they all care about each other. And, you know, people always asking, you know, what's going on, anything we can do to help. And it's like what Kirk was saying, how, you know, when they let us back to our house, you're running around trying to, you know, get some last minute things and having a list. A simple thing like that, because you can't grab everything. And you always, when you leave, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. Like what they were saying about the firemen being so helpful. It's simple things like when my wife and I planted some shrubs right by the road, some blue spruce, and we were out there moving some of the brush off them so, you know, they wouldn't, you know, die. The firemen actually came and helped us move some of the stuff off, which was incredible. I said, no, you don't have to do that. Oh, no, we don't mind. We'll give you a hand. And, you know, things like that I'll remember. I mean, because these guys went above and beyond and went just the nicest bunch of guys I'd ever want to meet.
So maybe a little less cynicism in Sleeman Gulch these days about the world, it sounds like.
I remember when we first came back and after the evacuation was lifted, and that happened sooner than we thought, and walking around the property at home, and I just felt extremely humbled, I think, and appreciative in the way that Mark has talked about that what sticks and is important is people and your relationships with them and your memories of what's in your heart. And so much of that, I think, is I think for us will be a legacy of the strength of our working together, helping each other out, making good plans ahead of time to try to expedite that in our community here. And I'm just very appreciative that I have a home and people around me who care deeply for each other.
Maybe not such a bad week after all. Although we don't want to repeat it.
I got to hug almost everybody in the Gulch now. So that's pretty good.
I'll get in line for that. Well, I just want to say how grateful I am to all of you for sharing your stories, because I think it's really important at this time that we all learn from what has happened. And you are the teachers right now. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.